Today, we face a world where artificial intelligence technologies are having an increasing impact in our society. There are several possible ways to look at AI, but regardless of the chosen approach, the ways of applying AI technologies cover a wide spectrum of tasks that traditionally require human intelligence, such as visual perception, speech recognition, and decision-making and translation. Technological developments in the field of AI raise both risks and opportunities. They may serve humankind to automate processes, as well as endanger decision-making, fundamental rights, and democratic systems. The EDPS and EDPB trainees are pleased to present you with our podcast called AI and I, a three-step approach to artificial intelligence. It's a three-part podcast series exploring the specific aspects of artificial intelligence technologies in our society. We hope that by listening to our podcast, you reach a better understanding on what AI is, what implications it has, and how it's regulated. We hope you enjoy.
In this first episode, we will try to shed some light on the concept of AI and discuss its common features. We also seek to clarify how AI technologies work, which are currently the most relevant fields of application for AI technologies in our societies, and what we should expect from the development of AI technologies in the future. This is Maria and Gianluca, and today we are joined in our discussion by Xavier Lareo. Xavier Lareo is a Technology and Security Officer at the Technology and Privacy Unit of the EDPS, which he joined in 2017. He is also a member of the EDPS Internal AI Task Force, which follows AI-related legal and technical developments. He provides advice on technology developments, having an impact on privacy and data protection, contributes to policy papers, and takes part in EDPS supervision activities. Among the topics he focuses on are biometric data processing, artificial intelligence, anonymization, and online tracking and profiling.
Hello, Xavier. Welcome and thank you for being here with us today in our first episode of Understanding AI. This seems to be a very hot topic nowadays, but many of us still struggle to understand what AI is. So could you please explain us what is AI and how AI technologies work?
Thank you. That's a difficult question, but a very understandable one for starters. There are many people discussing right now and in the last years about what is exactly AI. I mean, that's one of the battlefields precisely right now on the AI Act. People are smarter than me have been discussing about this, but I will try to give some definition. So in layman's word, I would say that artificial intelligence is the field of knowledge and the technology that allow artificial systems, so human-made systems, to perform tasks that require intelligence. And that last bit is the complex one. So what are systems that are supposed to have intelligent behaviors? Because for some things, it's quite understandable, like autonomous driving, for example. Everybody understands that you need some sort of intelligence in order to drive a car. But there are some other tasks that are not so evident that require some intelligence. For example, spotting a tiger in a picture in the middle of some forest, for example, requires human intelligence. But that's not something that people would think for the very beginning. In terms of types of AI, because I think it's interesting to speak about the different types of AI, I would like to make a broad distinction in between what we call symbolic AI systems, connectionist AI systems, and hybrid AI systems. So symbolic AI systems were the ones that were initially most successful. They were developed in between the mid-1950s and the late 1980s. They were, and they are, because they are artificial intelligence systems that try to capture the human knowledge in what they call a knowledge base. So you speak with experts, with human experts on a field, and you try to extract all the knowledge and try to make lists and networks, hierarchical lists and networks of concepts. That's the concepts are translated into symbols. And then you use a rule-based system that is called an inference engine. So you take the concepts that you know and you try to derive new knowledge using this inference system. These systems were quite popular before, but the systems that are being successful in these last years are connection systems, where the symbolic AI systems tried to capture human knowledge and represent it in the way of rules and in the way of lists and hierarchies of networks. Here, the approach is completely different. We are focusing AI systems that try to replicate the way the human brain works. So they are built with artificial neurons. That's why they are also known as the neural network systems. And what they do is they feed these systems with data, and these systems autonomously gain knowledge about the data that the systems is fed. And then they create new output or new knowledge. So the difference is that in the first symbolic AI systems, you are selecting from experts what is relevant and the way this knowledge is relevant, while in the second interaction with the expert is non-existent because what you are taking is the raw data. Hybrid system is generally a set of one symbolic system and one connection system that are used for different tasks in order to obtain the output. The symbolic systems are very good in explainability because you know which are the rules that are being applied, so at least you can follow the reasoning. But the problem is that you need a rule for everything. So when you have variations of a problem, then you have difficulties in having a full set of rules that will apply to any variation of the same problem. Well, in the connectionist approach, it is the other way around. Because the connectionist system learns from previous data, they are more easily adaptable to previous situations. But the way the knowledge is represented, that it's basically by a value, by a weight, each of the neurons that go, and the number of neurons can go up to trillions of neurons, the explainability is generally low. So you can adapt easily to new input, but you can it's very difficult to explain why you reach to a conclusion, why there is an output and not a different one. Hybrid systems try to have the best of each world by mixing one system that is adapting to new situations.
It is a very interesting presentation of all these types of artificial intelligence. What are currently the most relevant fields of application of AI technologies in our societies?
Some of them are quite well known for the public because they are well advertised. So image processing applications for artificial intelligence. Among the image processing applications, we can find the biometric identification, verification and classification. There is a lot of discussion here about potential limit ban on biometric identification, for example. I think we are all using, or many of us artists are using biometric authentication by our fingerprints in the mobile phones, for example, to unlock our mobile phones. I guess many people will have heard of deepfakes, so artificial intelligence used to generate fake images and also to detect the fake images. So this is one very well-known application. Some others, for example, that are very cited are the artificial intelligence uses by pharmaceutical companies to streamline the process of discovering new medicines, because machine learning models can propose new molecules with specific properties. They can search for this using artificial intelligence in a way that is faster and more efficient than doing it manually. Other of the uses that is very well known is the autonomous driving. So all the efforts that are going into having autonomous vehicles. And but I would like to focus on some of the uses that are not so evident or so well advertised, because they also have a big impact on our daily life. For example, artificial intelligence is being used and has been used in the last year for profiling. For example, we are profiled by social networks and using artificial intelligence, using machine learning, by recommender systems. And these recommender systems are the ones which decide which is the content that we would be more interested in. So they are very important because in a way they shape our digital world, because an increasing number of people are getting their news, their views of the world from social networks, from YouTube, from Facebook, from Instagram. And all these social networks, they base decisions of what you are interested in. So which are the first items that will be on your list? They are using artificial intelligence for that. Another use is content moderation. and fraud detection, it is very important because machine learning models are being used in order to detect if a user is a bot or not, or if the content published by a user in the internet or in a social network is should to be considered or is to be suspected as non-compliant with the terms of use of a website. So it has the potential of greatly impacting our freedom of expression. The Digital Services Act is trying to give some transparency on the use of these recommender systems and content moderation systems and the use of artificial intelligence into advertising, because advertising is another field of use of this AI-powered profiling. Other than profiling, another very relevant use of artificial intelligence is the natural language processing. So in this field, you can find automated translation. We have all seen the different tools like DeepL or Google Translator. I think that most prominent lately is the use of smart voice assistants. So all the intelligent assistants that support you from like Siri or Google Assistant or like all of these systems. This is a very interesting use of artificial intelligence because the use of natural language processing AI is very impactful or can be very impactful for our privacy. Because unlike a keyboard, where you are typing whatever content you want to the computer and there is nothing in between except for the operating system of the device you're using, when you use your voice as a means to communicate with the device, there is at least one third party which is processing your voice. And I say at least one because often there are more than one third party which is processing your voice data. So you are giving all the data of your interactions with your device to a third party. And it's very important to have this interaction into account in order to take all the action necessary to preserve your privacy and your fundamental rights.
Xavier, you mentioned that AI technologies actually shape the way we see the world. And an interesting comment would be that it actually shaped the way we make decisions on important matters, let's say on the elections.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when artificial intelligence is deciding that you like a candidate or you like the messages that are more in the line of thinking of a candidate or a party, it will probably suggest you to see more content of the same way of thinking. So it will create a bubble or reinforce your bubble of thinking. So instead of fostering critical thinking, instead of trying to provide you with different stories, with different alternative views over a problem or a narrative, it will reinforce the same narrative. So if I am into having guns in the US, for example, and I'm seeing videos in YouTube, it is more likely that YouTube will feed me with videos related with guns, which are not critical to having guns. So I will be reinforced in my belief that having guns is a fundamental right that I need to defend, and the other way around. So because the interest of most websites and social networks is to create engagement, and artificial intelligence is designed to maximize the engagement of the audience with the social network, they do not have into account or they disregard the necessity of having critical thinking and of being confronted with different points of view, because these systems are not designed to do that. They are designed to do the opposite. They want to feed you with whatever you like. And in this sense, artificial intelligence is not contributing to have a better democracy, because democracy means discussing, means being confronted with different ideas and being confronted with arguments and facts. And when people search for their facts and search for their arguments on the internet, and they are prioritized the facts and arguments that are very much like their own, does not foster discussion, that just foster staying in your comfort zone and what is called confirmation bias. So I start searching for information thinking in a way, and everything that I find confirms that I am right, of course, and the others are wrong.
Thank you, Xavier. This is very interesting. And the use of AI for the purposes you mentioned might raise serious concern or privacy. But what about the use of AI in the decision-making process, for example, in the way some companies organize recruitment? If we think about CV screenings, for example, it seems that the use of AI in the decision-making process has become more common to accept, which might lead to a shift in the way companies and societies organize themselves. So what should we expect from the development of AI technologies in the future?
Part of the concerns with regards to artificial intelligence system comes from the fact that in order to be efficient, they are designed to have certain degree of autonomy. That doesn't mean that they have to be fully autonomous, but they are to some extent autonomous. They are designed at least to help humans in deciding. So for example, in the context of recruitment, artificial intelligence systems are used to pre-screen and to prioritize the CVs of candidates. So you are receiving 9,000 CVs for a position. Of course, you don't want to employ the real and resources needed in order to screen the 9,000 of them. So you use an artificial intelligence system to prioritize and to filter out. And so the first evident problem with this is that depending on the data that the artificial intelligence system has been fed, because the systems that are being used today are based on machine learning. So that means that they learn from previous data. They can have different types of bias. And of course, human beings are also biased, but different human beings are biased in a different way. So if you take your CV to 100 different companies and they are all being screened by 100 different people, they will probably have 100 different types of bias. The problem is that if you have an AI system which has one type of bias and it's the same type of bias because everybody is developing their own AI system with the same data that have this historical bias, for example, against women or against different other demographic groups, you will end up with a labor market that is totally biased towards certain demographic groups. And a very related system is the lack of explainability, because explainability has different flavors. Explainability can mean something for a candidate, meaning I want to know why I haven't been granted an interview, why I have been rejected. But explainability for the person of human resources that is seeing the prioritized listing of CVs might mean which are the features, which are the variables in the CV that the system is taking into account. Why? Because I want to make sure that the artificial intelligence system is prioritizing, taking into account the values of my company, because not all the companies value the same things in the same way. I want to make sure that the system is prioritizing what I want to prioritize or my company. So you need the systems to be explainable in different ways, and that means a lot of effort. Not always is easy or possible to explain why the AI system considered this variable to be of interest and why I didn't get an interview because this other variable, like, I don't know, your grades in the high school, why they are so important for the AI system, or my postal code. Why is this postal code so important? Why, if I had three jobs in the last 5 years, that it's good or bad, very good or very bad. So it is very important to be able to explain decisions, because if not, we might end up with a lot of unfairness by design. So things that will come our way in the future of artificial intelligence, among them a standardization, something that is very relevant, because there are many concepts that are being discussed right now, even after some years of successful development of AI systems. We are still discussing, but we don't have standards about things like data quality. So what means to have good quality data? Which are the thresholds that we should have for quality data when designing and developing artificial intelligence? How to measure the performance? How to set thresholds? How to manage risk in artificial intelligence systems? All these topics are being managed by the Joint Technical Committee 21 on Artificial Intelligence of SANSENELEC, which is responsible for the development and adoption of standards for artificial intelligence and related data, as well as provide guidance to other technical committees concerned on AI. This is something that is going to be very, very relevant in the future years, because it will give us a baseline to discuss on what do we want as society, because there are concepts that will be laid down in regulations, things like having a system with enough data quality or to the best effort, to the best possible. These kind of expressions will need to be grounded on standards in the future, because we need to have a discussion not based on words that have no specific meaning. We need to have figures and we need to have a level discussion field. Some AI systems, especially those that do not require like the application of common sense, human common sense, will become better with time. But this will also bring some problems. I mean, increased performance is, of course, great, but this will also increase the challenge of automation bias. Automation bias is the bias that we humans suffer because we consider artificial intelligence systems to be always right. So we have difficulties in challenging the outcome of a system. So the better the AI systems will become, more difficult will be to challenge the AI system. In many forums, and also in data protection and privacy related forums, we tend to use human oversight as kind of silver bullet to mitigate the risk of bias. But it is necessary to measure the effect of such human oversight. If you have a person which is reviewing a decision made by an artificial intelligence system, and this person is very aware that the system very rarely is wrong, then it will be very difficult for this person to challenge the AI system. So we need to measure if this person is challenging the system often enough, meaning that the oversight is really being enacted, if it's being used, and also how often this oversight is meaningful in the sense that is detecting when the artificial intelligence system is wrong and the human being is right.
Thank you, Xavier. This is very interesting and informative. So maybe we should start to question how can humans, artificial intelligence, be complementary in the decision-making process in a good way, and how governments can implement an appropriate policy in order to prevent potential negative outcomes. But that's all for this episode. We would like to thank Xavier for being with us today and for this amazing discussion on understanding AI. And we want to thank your audience, and we hope we have you with us for our next episode.
Thank you very much for having me.